Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mind Body Her podcast. In this episode today, we're unpacking why fat loss for women needs a different approach, one that goes far beyond the outdated eat less, move more mantra. As a holistic nutritionist, I've seen firsthand how hormones, blood sugar, gut health, and even stress levels play a massive role in a woman's ability to lose fat sustainably. We'll dive into the unique hormonal landscape of women, how cortisol, insulin resistance, and inflammation affect metabolism, and why eating in a way that supports your cycle, nervous system, and gut naturally shifts your body towards weight balance. I'll also share what I commonly see on a Dutch hormone test and a GI map, which is a stool test that looks at the digestive system and how these things impact fat loss and what lab you can request from your doctor. So whether you're stuck in a plateau or tired of dieting that doesn't work, this episode is your permission slip to take a different and smarter approach to weight loss. When it comes to weight loss, there are many pieces of the puzzle that we need to take into consideration. One of them is being in a calorie deficit. There's a huge emphasis on being in a calorie deficit, which just means your body is burning more calories than you're consuming throughout the day. That is kind of the main, in a nutshell, in the simplistic form, what weight loss is all about. But I often find when we put too much of an emphasis on being in a calorie deficit, eating small amounts, exercising more, and we miss many other pieces of the puzzle, like blood sugar, like our hormones, inflammation, our digestive system, our cortisol levels, and even our relationship to food, then we end up getting stuck on that kind of yo-yo diet hamster wheel. My approach typically with weight loss in my practice is actually taking the emphasis off of weight loss specifically and emphasizing things like better blood sugar balance, reducing overall inflammation, healing the gut, and supporting better hormone health. Reason being is this helps to regulate our appetite, regulate our cravings a lot easier, so it's easier to actually stay in that calorie deficit. I like to look at weight gain typically as a symptom of something else that is going on underneath. Especially with women, hormones play a massive part of how our body breaks down food, how we metabolize food, and also how we store fat. So let's talk a little bit about how women differentiate from men from a hormonal standpoint and how that influences fat loss. So women's hormones fluctuate on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis, not only throughout the different phases of our menstrual cycle, but also throughout the different phases of our life. So things like pregnancy, perimenopause, menopausal years, our hormones are always kind of in flux. And so this drastically impacts our hunger levels, our energy levels, and even our motivation. Men, on the other hand, typically have a daily 24-hour rhythm. They have higher levels of testosterone. Testosterone is a hormone that helps to build and maintain muscle. Muscle is a huge driver of metabolic health. Men also have the ability to handle stress much better. So they can do things like fasting, those HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training. They can do the cold plunges. They can do the stricter calorie deficits much easier and not have a bigger emphasis on their hormone health. However, when women take this approach, when we kind of go kind of what I call balls to the walls with our weight loss protocol, so we're exercising like crazy, we're drastically cutting our calories, and we think more is better, often what this does is leads to hormonal imbalances and inflammation and actually causes the body to hold on to weight versus release it. What I have really found in my practice is that when women take a more gentle approach to weight loss, they're actually able to maintain and get their results a lot easier. And that can actually be very scary, especially if you've come from a long line of dieting. So I find most women kind of have it drilled into their heads that we have to eat small amounts, small portions. We have to exercise really hard all the time. So it can really feel quite scary in the beginning when we start to make changes that kind of differ from what we've always been told. So when we start to eat a little bit more, we start moving, not necessarily less, but we start working out smarter, not harder. It's not that every workout has to be super crazy or high intensity. I often find that sometimes pulling back on exercise and incorporating more restorative movements, rest days, more walking, this really kind of brings the body back into a more restful state, lowers inflammation, and again, also helps to manage our hunger, especially a lot easier. Sometimes when we overdo it on the exercise, especially if we're combining that with a calorie deficit, it makes it really hard to stick to that because it really skyrockets the hunger hormones. So as I mentioned, hormones have a massive impact on how we metabolize food and store fat. So let's talk about a few of the hormones that are main drivers when it comes to weight loss. So one of them is being insulin. So insulin is a hormone that helps to regulate our glucose levels. So it's released by the pancreas whenever we eat food, and its job is to allow glucose to enter the cells to be utilized as energy. Insulin resistance is a condition where the cells are kind of saying, nope, no glucose is allowed to enter here, and our body isn't sufficiently utilizing the sugar from the foods that we eat as energy. So we get a buildup of blood sugar, and it ends up getting stored as fat because the body doesn't know where else to put it. Insulin resistance is very common with women with PCOS. Upwards of 80% of women with PCOS have insulin resistance. And women who are in menopause, perimenopausal years, women typically tend to get a little bit more insulin resistant as we get older. So this is why I commonly hear women kind of 40s and 50s like, hey, I'm doing everything right, I'm eating good, I'm exercising, but the weight is creeping up. Typically, we can look at our hormones and kind of blame our hormones in a sense for that happening. Especially with insulin resistance, it's not necessarily a calorie thing. It's more about looking at our carbohydrates and sometimes manipulating our carbohydrate intake. That means eating carbohydrates earlier in the day when we're going to utilize it as energy, eating them around our workouts. Sometimes going a little bit lower carb in the evening with insulin resistance can be very helpful to allow blood sugar and insulin to come down overnight. So I like to kind of allow 12 to 14 hours between the last meal and the first meal of the day, especially with my clients who have insulin resistance. There are also some great supplements that can be helpful with insulin resistance. So inositol is one that I commonly use with my clients with PCOS and sometimes with my clients with menopause. Berberine is another one. It's kind of like was known as natural Ozempic, but you just want to be careful with these things and make sure you talk with a practitioner before jumping into them. So I like to look at vitamin D and magnesium, as these two also help to regulate insulin levels as well. Estrogen is another hormone that influences how we store fat, so both high and low levels of estrogen can influence body fat. High estrogen, otherwise kind of known as a condition of estrogen dominance, when we have higher levels or higher ratios of estrogen to progesterone. So this can promote fat storage, especially around the hips, the thighs, and sometimes the belly. It can worsen PMS symptoms and increase cravings for sugar and carbohydrates. Low estrogen, so sometimes we see this postpartum, also as women, naturally as we get older, and again heading into perimenopause and menopausal years, our estrogen levels naturally start to decline. So this can, again, tend to promote belly fat and some insulin resistance. Insulin and estrogen are closely tied together, so this can lead to increases in appetite and cravings due to poor blood sugar regulation and even lower levels of serotonin. Our thyroid, that little gland in our neck, is also where our thyroid hormones are produced, and that helps to regulate our metabolism. So a condition like hypothyroidism, low thyroid function, can often lead to a slower metabolism, making it easier to gain weight and harder to lose it. If you are somebody that struggles with this, if you know, you know. So even if you're dieting and exercising, it can make it really tough to lose weight with hypothyroidism. It can blunt appetite, it can increase cravings for sugar and caffeine, especially when energy levels are low. It can cause fatigue, lower overall motivation, lead to gut issues, constipation, cold intolerance. Leptin resistance is another one that's not often talked about, but leptin is a hormone that is produced by the fat cells and actually tells the brain that we're full and helps to regulate our appetite. But in leptin resistance, the brain stops hearing that signal, which can lead to overeating, higher hunger levels, feeling hungry even after you've eaten something, thinking about food constantly, especially for those kind of higher calorie, higher sugar foods. Leptin resistance often coexists with insulin resistance and inflammation and even with sleep disruption. So with sleep, when we don't get enough sleep, that can really impact our hunger hormones, leptin and ghrelin. It can increase cortisol, our stress hormone, and also impact insulin levels and our blood sugar. So if you've had a bad sleep and you feel like you are insatiable, you're hungry all the time, thinking about food all the time, and have cravings like crazy, make sure you work on your sleep. So the important thing to think about with hormones, especially for women, is that they never work in isolation. So our blood sugar especially can influence our adrenal glands and our cortisol levels and our thyroid function. Three pillars that I typically work on with my clients when, whether it is for weight loss or just looking for better hormonal health in general, blood sugar balance is key, which we'll delve into a little bit further. Supporting the gut and liver is also very important, as many hormones, especially the thyroid and estrogen, are metabolized and broken down in the gut and the liver. And then regulating our stress hormones, regulating cortisol, is also a big part of the puzzle. And speaking about cortisol, cortisol was kind of the hormone of the year last year. Everybody was talking about cortisol and how if we just get cortisol managed, our life will be much easier. The important thing with cortisol, so cortisol is our stress hormone, but it's also our hormone that wakes us up in the morning, gets us motivated to do things. We don't want low cortisol. We just want cortisol to be fluctuating and peaking and dipping at the right times throughout the day. And also, if we have higher times of stress, we just want to be able to regulate our nervous system and bring our cortisol levels back down into equilibrium. The problem with cortisol is that if it's consistently being spiked all day long, and this can be for a number of reasons, cortisol can raise due to low blood sugar. So if you're not eating enough, if you're going too long between your meals, if you're over-exercising, if there's inflammation in the gut, especially if we have pathogen overgrowth, bacteria overgrowth, even parasitic infections. As I mentioned, sleep can really impact cortisol. If we're not getting enough sleep, this can skyrocket cortisol levels the next day. Too much caffeine, alcohol, sugar. And then we couple that with life stressors with our family, our finances, our jobs, school. That's where we really run into trouble. Regulating cortisol through diet and lifestyle is absolutely imperative, but also implementing self-care practices and setting strong boundaries with work, with your friends, your family, saying no more often and as needed. When we are looking at nutrition, one of the biggest things that I emphasize is blood sugar balance. So that means avoiding having big peaks and valleys with our blood sugar. So an example of that would be, you know, eating foods that are higher in carbohydrates and sugar on their own. They're lacking in fiber and protein and good fats. When we have meals that are primarily carbohydrates, what happens is they tend to digest quite quickly and then we get a sudden spike in blood sugar. Now, this would be totally okay if you were maybe going for a workout or going for a job, but many of us are sitting at our desk at work and we don't need a huge amount of glucose. This will also make you feel hungry quite quickly after and not feel satiated for a long period of time when we're lacking protein and fiber. So ideally, when we're looking at balancing out our meals, we want to have an adequate amount of protein. I always say take your protein and pick your protein first and build the rest of your meal around that. As far as amounts or grams of protein to eat throughout the day, most women are severely under-eating with protein. Protein helps to keep you satiated. It helps to delay gastric emptying, keeps blood sugars more stable, helps to build muscles, great for our hair, our skin, and our nails, cognitive and hormone function. Ideally, women should be aiming for at the very minimum 80 to 90 grams of protein, and it's going to be more depending on what your goals are. If you are looking for fat loss support, building muscle, you actually want to aim for 1 gram of protein per ideal body weight. So for example, if you are someone that's 175 pounds, your ideal body weight is 145 pounds, then you would eat 145 grams of protein throughout the day. As a gentle rule, I kind of like to stick to around 30 grams of protein at main meal. So 3 meals out of the day, 30 grams of protein, that gets you 90 grams. And then at your snacks, you can have around 10 to 20 grams of protein. I'm also a big fan of having a protein shake throughout the day. I just find this is a really easy way. I know it's one meal that I can pack 30 grams of protein in and a bunch of other nutrients in. It takes me 5 minutes and I find it's just a game changer for my energy and my mood, managing my hunger and cravings. Fiber is also going to be your friend. Protein and fiber are your friends when it comes to weight loss and hormone health and blood sugar balance. Similar to the protein, fiber further. Protein, fat, and fiber helps to delay gastric emptying, so it actually slows down how quickly food is digesting, therefore keeping you more satiated, more full, and keeping the blood sugar levels more stabilized. Fiber is going to come from your fruits and vegetables, your leafy greens, non-starchy vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, zucchini. These don't have a lot of carbohydrates in them, but they are high in fiber, high in nutrients, and they will, again, keep you satiated for longer. Whole grains are a great source of fiber, potatoes, sweet potatoes. I'm a big fan of ground flax seeds, chia seeds, and I actually love psyllium husk. Psyllium husk is one of my favorite fiber supplements. It's really great if you have either loose stools or constipation. It can help with both. Also really great for regulating cholesterol levels. I use this with a lot of my clients who struggle with high cholesterol as well. You can usually find this in your health food store. So when we think about balancing our meals out, I want you to go through a checklist. Number one is, what's my protein source? Ask yourself that. Then add some color on your plate with fruits and vegetables. Add complex carbohydrates. And again, if you are insulin resistant, you just want to make sure you're kind of eating those earlier in the day around your workouts and choosing the right carbohydrates. And we also want some good healthy fats on our plate as well. I have a free guide on my website about how to balance your blood sugar. If you haven't checked it out, it goes into this more in more detail and gives you some meal ideas as well. If you feel like you are doing everything right, eating right, exercising, and that number just isn't budging, I do encourage you to, you know, take the next step and see if there's anything else kind of underlying, especially in the hormone and digestion department. I always suggest getting some lab work done. So especially if you're like thinking maybe insulin is playing a part, checking your fasting insulin, fasting glucose, your hemoglobin A1C. This is the average of what your blood sugar levels have been doing over the past 3 months. Getting a full thyroid panel done can also be really helpful. Most of the time, they only check your thyroid stimulating hormone, and depending on what that number is, they will do further testing. Ideally, for a TSH, we want it to be sitting between 0.5 and 2.5. If you experience other hypothyroid symptoms, such as hair loss, extreme fatigue, depression, anxiety, low mood, coupled with troublesome weight loss, then I encourage you to ask your doctor to run a full thyroid panel to get a bigger picture. And also check your inflammation levels. So C-reactive protein is one that I like to look at. Vitamin D levels. Low vitamin D can really influence our metabolism and motivation and mood. Same with iron. I would say about 9 out of 10 women that I see are struggling with low iron levels, and this will really impact energy and motivation, making it harder to make the right choices when it comes to fat loss. I also run two other functional tests in my practice, one being the Dutch Complete Hormone Test. So this is a comprehensive hormone panel that looks at your progesterone levels, your estrogen, your testosterone, and your cortisol levels and their metabolites. Some of the common things that I see on Dutch tests, especially with somebody struggling with weight loss, are low testosterone. So as I mentioned, with testosterone, women, we do need some testosterone. And if we have low levels, that might mean that we are having a harder time to put on muscle, which is influencing our metabolic rate. Testosterone also helps with mood and, again, with motivation. I quite often see elevated cortisol levels, which is going to have a ripple effect on pretty much all of our other hormones. If cortisol levels are elevated, our body prioritizes making cortisol, and it will impact our thyroid hormone, our sex hormones, so our estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So I often, if there's any issues with the thyroid or with the sex hormones, we want to come back and look at cortisol as well as insulin, so the blood sugar, as I mentioned before. I've also had a few cases of low estrogen come in, which again is going to be very common in perimenopause and menopausal years. So this just gives you some really true concrete results and helps you to build a more personalized protocol around nutrition, supplementation, and lifestyle factors so that you can start releasing the weight. Now, as far as the gut is concerned, so GI Map is the tool that I use, the functional stool test that I use in my practice. So this can give a really good idea of what's kind of going on underneath the hood, so to speak, as far as digestion goes. If we have low levels of bacteria in our gut, if we're not able to break down our food as well, this can lead to things like inflammation and bloating, and also influence our ability to metabolize and break down hormones. Parasitic infections can increase our cortisol levels and also deplete lots of nutrients. If we are not getting enough nutrients, our brain will kind of tell you to go out and look for more food. I also see very commonly high levels in inflammatory markers, such as calprotectin and secretory IgA. candida overgrowth can also skyrocket sugar cravings again, making it very hard to stick to your healthy diet. The gut is a very underlooked component when it comes to weight loss, but it really influences many things from our hormones to our blood sugar levels to our serotonin and our immune system. Having a healthy gut is absolutely imperative to one, balanced hormones, and two, a balanced weight. So I really want the key take-home message here to not be about only focusing on calories, only eating small amounts. Women, truly, we don't need to be really restrictive and we don't need to suffer when we're trying to lose weight. I want to encourage you to let go of the diets, the fancy supplements, and the extremes, and it's really about coming back to those foundational pieces, including balanced meals, the blood sugar piece, looking after our digestion, sleeping more, getting outside, regulating our nervous system. And we focus on this, the results go far beyond the number on the scale. We'll have better mood, better energy, a better outlook on life, and the ability to continue to make better decisions when it comes to our health and wellness. Weight loss really needs to have a holistic, broader approach, especially for women. The hormonal aspect cannot be ignored in the weight loss puzzle piece. I hope you found this episode helpful, and if you are looking for further support on your weight loss or hormone health journey, I encourage you to book in a free discovery call where we can chat about working together further and explore potential testing if that is something that is in your interest. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode today, and stay tuned for more.